This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Welcome to Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz. No Le Batard, no Stugatz with you, but the whole crew is here. Peter Burns and Alyssa Lang hanging out with you for over the next couple of hours. We had some Big Dad energy last night over in a little Thursday night football. We've got a new leader at the Masters as that continues to roll on. And I may have to put up my daughter for adoption. These are the three things that are kind of trending in my world this morning, Alyssa
Lang.
I don't know if I do or don't mean it. I don't think my wife's listening right now, so I feel safe to say that my daughter this morning, she was going to school, and this was a big morning, as you know, it was dress up as your favorite fan of your favorite team, right? And I'm born and raised in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, diehard LSU fan, as you know. And I'm thinking, all right, so naturally, LSU-Alabama, that game got canceled. She's going to do me a solid, especially after LSU waxed Alabama last year. I come down and I posted it on Twitter, at Peter Burns ESPN. She's decked out in full Alabama gear. And not only is she decked out in full Alabama gear, she hits me with the Roll Tide. The only thing worse, Alyssa, had she hit me with the Roll Damn Tide. But luckily, she doesn't know that word yet. Good morning,
Peter,
to you, Miss Alyssa. How are
Peter.
You?
Peter. Yes. Okay, let's start by saying that. How old is Bo? How old is she?
Bo is three, but already
Bo
getting on
three.
My nerves that she knows how to just, you know, kind of give me the shank right into the ribs right in the morning. Yes.
Here's the thing. You should take a lot of just solace in Bo being 3 years old and you having already raised her to be a very smart young woman, because it's 2020. Mm-hmm. And if she has the choice between LSU and Alabama gear in 2020, Peter Burns, unless she's got a diploma a degree, excuse me, from Louisiana State University, she's making the right choice.
I don't need her to be a Kevin Durant infant at this point. I don't need her to just say, where the wind's blowing, I'm going to go out there.
But her mom's a Bama fan.
You know what I want? I want her to be more Jimmy Butler. I need more Jimmy Butler in my daughter's three-year-old life. I feel like we'll go to hell and back for this one, no matter what the team is. And if I'm raising a daughter already that says, you know what, I'm dumping LSU after one year and rolling with the Crimson Tide, even if her mom is a diehard Alabama fan, I still have a little bit of issues with it, right? We can't bandwagon at three. You can't bandwagon
at three. But she's growing up in like the ultimate college football household, because she always has a reason to pull for either team. Like if Bama happens to have a down year, I don't know, like 15 years from now or something, if Saban finally decides to leave, she can be like, oh yeah, well, my dad's an LSU fan, so you know, I also pull for the Tigers, and no one will question it because they know that the roots run deep for Alabama and LSU between the two of you. Now for me, both of my parents went to Virginia Tech, so I was raised a huge Hokie fan, which like late 90s, early 2000s Michael Vick era was cool, but
yeah.
Every other time it wasn't, and I didn't have another choice. I couldn't be like, oh yeah, now like in 2019 UVA is kind of good, I could kind of pull for that. Absolutely not.
Well, especially after they called Justin Fuente called the timeout, which led to Hugh Freeze's Liberty Flames going to 7-0 after last
right.
week. We'll break down college football, because we may only have one more weekend of games before it all collapses. We'll talk to Chris Lowe a little bit later about that. We'll also talk to Michael Collins, ESPN caddy, gives us an update too. Is Dustin Johnson at the Masters, his first bogey-free round in 35 career rounds, just shot 65. So his solid beard in Instagram account takes the lead over at Augusta. But we did see horrible football last night. Once again, Thursday night football lives up to its billing. I do feel like the Masters lives up to its hype every single year, and I feel like every single week Thursday night football, Alyssa Lang, lives up to being just a blah product. And we saw that with 34-17 Colts beating down the Titans last night.
Yeah, I mean, nobody expects great things from Thursday Night Football, and they deliver on that, I think, every single week. I will say I wasn't expecting the Titans to lay the absolute egg that they did last night. Obviously, the Colts are a very talented team, obviously defensively as well, but if you thought special teams didn't matter, you should go back and watch that game, because the Tennessee Titans, what was it, three straight drives, I think, had special teams blunders that ended up putting so much momentum right in the Colts' lap. So I was watching that one, I think, a little more closely than I typically would watch a Thursday night football game, which is odd, but I guess the Colts made it more interesting in that way. Because we did have action. Like, let's not like, let's be real here. We had action, even though
it was
Thursday
it was fine. Yeah, we did see the BDE out of Philip Rivers, the big dad energy, and he was okay. He was good enough. But, I mean, again, like to me, Billy, Tony, Roy, we'll bring you guys in on here. Is it a situation to where Thursday night football is – I mean, I think Thursday night football ruins it for the rest of the weekend. I'm still going to plant my flag on this because I feel like – Thursday night, if you give it to me like three or four times a year, I'm okay. But ever since we started going, hey, every week we have Thursday, by the time I get to Sunday night and Monday night, I'm like, Roy, it's just brutal for me.
You know what it is? It's a palate cleanser. That's what it is. Like, you know, drinking wine from Monday night football, and now you have this palate cleanser of boring, like, crackers. You know, you eat that. That prepares you for Sunday. You watch this boring game. Oh, Sunday's got to be better than this. So now you're pumped up and you're excited for Sunday.
So there's the idea, right? How you make Thursday night football really good, because Sunday night football always moves, right? Sunday night football, they can flex really good matchups in the Sunday night, and Monday night's normally traditionally set up pretty well, especially now, you know, with ESPN better contracts and better games. But like Thursday night football should set the bar so low for what you're about to see. So, like, for instance, if I had games that had nothing to do with actually who was going to win, but rather who was going to lose and who was going to show me the worst amount of football, I'm kind of in, especially with Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields being the 1-2 pick. Like, Alyssa, if you gave me a game in which I could say who wants to win the least, I'm actually kind of intrigued by that once you get into the second half of the season. Like, Jets fans would play every Thursday night at this point because you're trying to figure out, all right, is it Trevor? Is it Justin Fields? Which direction are they going?
Just take the two worst teams and have them play over and over again on Thursday night. I mean, I did say, what was it, a couple months ago when they announced that the win total requirement for college football bowl games was no more. Typically, you'd have to win at least six games to get into a college football bowl game. And they were like, yep, no, never mind. 2020 is weird. And I said, okay, well, now you have to take the two worst Division I teams, like most entertaining worst Division I teams, and put them in a bowl game and like have Charmin sponsor it or something and call it literally the Toilet Bowl or something like that. This would be the NFL equivalent on Thursday night. And do you know how many people would bet on that?
Right.
Everyone.
I mean, all right. Except for Tony, because Tony, you can end up having, I mean, how many bad bets have you had so far this year? Would you bet on the Charmin Toilet Bowl featuring the worst teams in college football? Dynamite drop in as we don't think we get your mic working right now, don't you? So this is unbelievable because he was just doing such a good job on our Zoom of being really animated with his hands. So it's like anytime you watch somebody in a sports bar, you're thinking, man, they're really good at what they're
super
saying, but you
it.
Don't really actually get a chance to listen to them. All right, let's try this one more time. 3, 2, 1, unmute your mic. Go ahead.
How about now?
Hey!
Perfect.
All right. So I was saying I don't bet golf because that's where I lose my money, but I'll bet anything football. So the Toilet Bowl, I'm in.
All right. Toilet Bowl, you're in. Billy, Toilet Bowl, you're good? You're golden with that?
Yeah, I'll watch it. How many bowl games do you think there will actually be this year? Because, I mean, a lot of regular games have been canceled, right? Do you think that we're going to have – there's no way we have the full slate of bowl games.
Yeah. When I said that, it was more of like a let me dream that we'll have a lot of bowl games situation.
I think it's like who's healthy enough. Like, I think it's almost like a as is, like, hey, are you healthy enough to play? Do you have enough players? Just why don't you guys meet here? Like, I think it'll just be regional. Like, again, I think it'll be regional bowl games. Can you drive to where you're at? Can you physically just take a bus to where you're at? Perfect. You're in a bowl game. Congratulations. Peter Burns, Alyssa Lang here hanging out with you on the Levitard Show. Coming up, I do want to get into the Masters a little bit more. Some developments going on. Tiger Woods going to be teeing off in a little bit. Dustin Johnson has just taken the lead. Again, college football is collapsing in front of our eyes, but big news yesterday that we need to talk about when it comes to how everything could change exclusively on the timing. Love the rejoins and love hosting this show, filling in for Levitard and Stugatz and the whole crew. Peter Burns, Alyssa Lang with you. Follow us on Twitter at Alyssa Lang, myself at Peter Burns, ESPN, as we continue to move on here on this Friday. And by the way, ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive celebrating 8 years of donating cars to veterans in need. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. Guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pinzo Performance Line. We're going to be joined by Michael Collins, a.k.a. ESPN Caddy, in about 12 minutes to talk a little bit more about what's going on in Augusta. They're starting to finish at least the first round, Alyssa. Dustin Johnson came in at, 7-under 65, along with Paul Casey. So a bunch of the guys starting to finish up their first round, starting to tee off the second round. You've had an opportunity to go to Augusta. You've been there once before. Yes.
Yeah. Twice, actually. When I was working in local TV in Columbia, South Carolina, we got to go, and it was magical. It was my first television job, and getting that assignment, obviously, is just like cream of the crop. So I remember being just in awe when I walked out there, and I had a lot of family members, my grandfather, my dad, my uncle, they're all big into golf, and they were furious because they'd never gotten to go before, and here I am, 21, 22 years old, fresh out of college, like, about to go to Augusta, guys. And my dad actually, he mailed me a credit card before I went because...
Wait, how old were you when this happened? Like 20...
21, 22.
Okay.
So he mailed me a credit card because anyone who knows anything about starting in the TV business, certainly fresh out of college in local TV, I was like worse than broke, like worse off than broke, making no money, tons of student loans, like barely affording anything.
Wait a minute. I saw social media and Twitter all this week that said everybody that works in sports makes like $500,000. Wasn't that right?
Oh,
Billy,
yeah,
did we
yeah,
not
totally
see all
lying.
Those tweets this week saying that everybody is rich when you work in sports media? Yeah, I thought that was I thought that was the case. All right, so you get this credit card from your pops covering.
So
the Masters.
Dad is like, you know what? I hope you find something to eat tomorrow, but I am going to get my Masters gear if you are going to Augusta. And obviously, like, you can't have phones out there. So I was taking orders from my family, like I want a jacket or I want a polo, whatever it was. And my credit cards and my bank account were either maxed out or had $10 in them, so I couldn't afford to go in and buy like $400 worth of stuff for grandpa, dad, everybody who wanted it. So my dad was like, here, just use my card and then just make sure you don't use it again just for the Masters stuff. So that's how my family approached my first Masters trip was, yeah, you have fun. Just make sure you get me a jacket.
But everybody does that, right? Like if you tell somebody you're going, you're automatically on the hook for purchasing stuff for other people. And I'll never never forget the first time I went to Augusta. I went inside the merch tent, and I'm like a kid in a candy store. I'm a former college golfer, so I'm like, I'm buying this, I'm buying that, I'm buying everything, right? So I get up to the cash register to check out. And by the way, this is like Costco or Walmart times 20. Like the efficiency that they can take your money is absolutely out of control, where they have just lines and lines and lines, and they are just ringing. And I go up there, and I sheepishly put all my stuff on there, and she you know, runs it all, and she's like, sir, that'll be $1,250. And I'm like, so, okay, I see you guys, like, you guys are surprised right here on the Zoom. And I'm thinking, I know, I'm sorry, I don't know if I'll ever get back. And I was like, I'm just curious.
Like, what's I have the- four things.
Right, no, but here's the deal. It's not really outrageously expensive. I mean, it's, you know, it's not like going to the Super Bowl or a concert where you buy a t-shirt for the concert, it's like $75 because they're trying to rip you off. Like, I think it's legitimately priced. So I buy like $1,300 worth of stuff. And I go, I'm sorry, this is, you can tell my first time. And she goes, she looks at me in this little Southern voice. She goes, honey, you ain't even at the average ticket price. And I'm like, what? And she says, like, the average ticket price of somebody who goes through the merchandise tents at Augusta is like $1,500. And I'm just staring at a sea of like 200 people all just like, here's my card, ring. I mean, it was just absolutely out of control. And then, so what happens this year, of course, no one can go, right? The only patrons allowed at Augusta this year are actually members. So Rob Manfred, Major League Baseball Commissioner, he was there. Roger Goodell was there yesterday. I think Peyton Manning was out there. So if you're a member at Augusta, you could actually go. And my wife got a text from a friend saying, listen, I can get Peter an opportunity, I can get him a Masters football, and I could probably get it signed by the eventual winner. And I'm thinking, this is perfect.
Who's this friend?
Right?
Can
this
I
is,
be friends?
I'm not going to tell you who this is, the source I have. And my wife goes, I told her you weren't interested. I go, well, wait, what? And she goes, well, the football was $250, and it's probably not a big deal. I'm like, sweetheart, you don't understand. there will never be another Masters in the fall, ever. Like this, hopefully this never happens again. This will always be played. So there's only going to be one Masters ever played, and I get a chance to get a Masters football with the logo signed by the winner, and you said no? It was a worse kick in the you-know-what than my wife dressing up my daughter in Alabama gear this morning and hitting me with a roll tie. Like, it's just been a bad day in the Burns household.
She's batting 1,000 against you this week.
It's not good. It's not good. Speaking of this, the only good thing that's coming out of this is that we're also seeing a lot of golf. It's over on ESPN and ESPN Plus right now. But getting Vern Lundquist back in my life was something I didn't know how much I needed, Alyssa. And it is absolutely just, it's living up to everything I needed. That's what I needed in 2020.
Vern is just one of those sweet sounds of sports that when you hear his voice, I just want to sink into the couch and I like just pour me a glass of wine and I'm home. Like, I'm good. Vern, like, I just like, tell me a bedtime story. Let me go to sleep hearing your voice. Let me wake up hearing your voice. And this is starting to sound creepy, but like,
yeah,
Vern
it was
just
waking up next
guys.
To Vern Lundquist and hearing his
I
voice.
I don't want to wake up next to him, Peter. Don't put words in my mouth. That is not what I said. I said I want to wake up to the voice. Just the voice. Like, as a ringtone. Like, if he could record a ringtone saying, good morning, Alyssa. It's another day, and I know you can face it. Any challenge that lies ahead of you, I believe in you. This is the Masters. And, like, I would just have a great day.
Here's what, and Bubba, as we go to break here, do me a favor. Play the Augusta theme music, because, by the way, there's only one acceptable ringtone. And it used to be like, remember, like, a couple years ago? It was 10 years ago, Roy, it was like Soldier Boy. Like, you, like, everybody bought the $2.99 ringtone. This is the only ringtone I've purchased in a decade. And let me tell you, it is a life changer. Because anytime you get stressed or you don't want to wake up, and you want to wake up in a very slow, methodical way, not next to Vern Lundquist, Alyssa.
That's not what I said.
Have the Masters music. Tell me this is not calming right now.
It's beautiful. Like, if I could, next time I go to the spa or get a massage, if they could just play this. And then when it's over, the SEC on CBS music is beautiful as well. I know that we're ESPN, CBS. I don't know if I'm not allowed to say that, but like, that's a wonderful tune as well.
Alyssa Lane, can you imagine if you were getting a massage listening to the Augusta theme song and it was Vern giving you the massage? You would have the greatest day in
Peter,
the history
you
of
have
the world.
Now, you have now taken this to a place that I just was not prepared for, but should have been.
Going to follow up on the rejoin asking about underwear and the hoarder of Billy Gill here on this show. Peter Burns, Alyssa Lang hanging out with you today for Mr. Dan Le Batard and Stu Gatz here on the program. Going to be joined by Michael Collins momentarily. Remember, the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. And all the guests here on the show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance line. Real quick news for Major League Baseball. Perry Mayagian, the assistant GM with the Braves, now the new GM for the Los Angeles Angels, making moves, brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports. We did see Colts beat the Titans yesterday, 34-17. Last item, Thursday Night Football. Absolute beatdown in the second half, 21-0. And the big dad energy over there from Phillip Rivers continues to roll, is that they actually have a chance of winning that division right now. But who wins our hearts every year around this time is Michael Collins, joining us on that show, Pennzoil Performance Line, host of Maddie and the Caddy, and post-round episodes this week from the Masters. All right, Collins, we're round one is officially now in the books. Your biggest takeaway was?
My biggest takeaway? Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods should not have been playing the way that they play. Tiger Woods coming into this week was putting horrifically and was not hitting iron shots clean, crisp, or looking confident whatsoever. And Phil Mickelson could only beat guys in a retirement community because he could go win on the PGA Tour Champions but couldn't make a cut on the PGA Tour. So the fact that the two of them just showed up at Augusta and just kind of found it, which – I know a lot of people say Augusta is a magical place where if your game is terrible, you can just show up and find it. Really tell that to Rory McIlroy and Jordan Spieth because they're still looking. And one of my – I know
I know I shouldn't be happy about this, but I tried to tell people when they were all on the Bryson DeChambeau bandwagon about how he's going to hit it 400 yards and destroy Augusta. I tried to tell everybody, Augusta National, not about the driver. It's a second-shot golf course. And we found that out when Bryson DeChambeau on 13 looked like he was on the Discovery Channel show searching for Bigfoot behind the 13th. So while Bryce is not necessarily out of it, like, awesome. He hit it 364 yards on the ninth hole. Phil hit it 365. Ta-da!
Michael, as we go into round two, I know you mentioned Tiger, and I initially was going to ask you maybe who surprised you the most or who impressed you the most in round one, but you mentioned Tiger, obviously, career best first round at the Masters. Do you anticipate him continuing that performance, or was that just a, all right, warm up, it's Thursday, one-time thing? What do you think we see the rest of the week?
This is where I put up the shrug emoji. Like, I am done guessing what this dude is going to do. He looked almost bored. Like, this, he's never in his career ever had a bogey-free first round at the Masters. You want to talk about now it's verified that 2020 is the weirdest year ever? That is it. That is proof positive that Tiger goes bogey-free in round one at the Masters. And he looked bored. Never heard Tiger Woods say, every part of my game was good. He had nothing bad to say about any part of his game. We never heard that. I will tell you the one thing that makes me nervous about Tiger going into this round and Saturday especially, knowing they're not going to be able to finish because of daylight, because Tiger doesn't tee off until 2:30. So 3 hours, he'll be somewhere in his back nine. Saturday's the round that scares me a little. And the reason that Saturday scares me is the temperature is going to be lower than what we've seen all week. And he's going to have to play 18 plus whatever is left over in round two. And so depending on how much time he has between round two and round three, because of where, you know, where he's going to end up being, quote unquote, seated, the longer he has to sit around and wait is the more nervous I get about his back. And Augusta is one of the hardest walks on tour. Yes, Tiger's got crazy fitness, but you know who doesn't care about his crazy fitness? Tiger's back.
Yeah.
Because if it decides we're done, guess what? He's done. He'd be like, yeah, I don't care what your abs look like. I don't care how strong your legs are. Like, oh, good. You look great in the tank top. I don't care. That's pretty much Tiger's back. So until we get through Saturday, that's when I'll be like, okay, I can't believe this is going to happen again, like that he's put himself into contention. Like, I would just want to get through Saturday to see then what it looks like, what Tiger looks like.
Michael Collins joining Peter Burns and Alyssa Lang here on the Dan Le Batard Show. So, Collins, basically you're telling me what I need to do is fade Tiger's third round. Whatever it is, whatever the over and under is in Vegas, I need to fade it, and I'll be in pretty good shape. I like it. I'm going to put my daughter through college on that advice. On the other side of it as well, too, when you look at this, monster scores, everybody went low. Obviously, that's because how slow and how wet and how damp the course is playing at this point. Does Augusta like to protect itself from this scoring like USGA traditionally does in how they set up U.S. Opens?
No, I don't think so. Because the thing about Augusta, because we're there every single year, so Augusta has sub-air on the greens. So by the end of today, the sun's going to be out. The sub-air has been running all night. When the humidity starts to drop, that's when all the moisture can be taken out of those greens. And that's when, even with the fairways still being a little bit slower, the greens are going to be lightning, lightning, lightning. But I think, you know, the only thing that surprised me about what Augusta did on Thursday for the first round was that they didn't play lift clean in place. I don't know that they've ever done it there, but I've never heard more golfers yelling plug as their ball's in the air going to the middle of the fairway. And the reason is there was so many mud balls on Thursday for a lot of guys that were out there. The reason they want the ball to plug is if it plugs in the fairway, then they can mark it, lift it, clean it, and put it back. Where if it just hits into the fairway, pops up, and has a big chunk of mud on it, then they just got to play it, and the ball can do some really squirrely things. So Augusta doesn't – they don't necessarily set the golf course up like a USGA, where the USGA is not afraid to let things get out of hand in order to protect par. They'll make the golf course unfair and take the hit from the media when and the players, as we saw what happened with Phil Mickelson at Shinnecock. Augusta's not like that. The thing about Augusta is that we're missing is with the scores the way they were yesterday and finishing the first round, the roars. The roars throughout that place not being there when the field scoring average was 71.41, which was the lowest Masters first round scoring ever. So I was there Monday talking to Ian Poulter, John Rahm, and Ricky Fowler. And even they said it's strange because you can kind of feel when things are really starting to amp up, when guys are starting to play good, and you feed off of the energy, and it's because of the roars of the crowd. So the roars not being there might have actually helped Augusta and the scores, that field scoring average, it might have helped it not even be lower. Mm.
Michael, before we get you out of here, I kind of want to just piggyback off of that. You mentioned it sort of feels like practice rounds watching these guys out there, and there's no fans. It's in the fall. For you, just as a fan of the game and obviously as a fan of this tournament, Peter and I were talking about the experience of being at Augusta. How just strange is it that we're in the middle of November playing this tournament? There was like a tropical storm yesterday in the fall. We've got football going on tomorrow. Like, what has that been like from a fan perspective?
I'm telling you, like, let's be honest. Would anyone be surprised if there was frogs and locusts that show up in a couple weeks? We'd be like, we really got to get to December 31st. Please hurry. Please, 2021, hurry. But I think the strangest thing about seeing Augusta without the patrons is the not having grandstands. And the wildest thing was hearing guys talk about like the par 3 16th. You don't notice the pond on 16 when the grandstands are up. Because it's packed with people around the back of the tee box, so all you see is all the people, and all down the left-hand side, and then all around the back of the green. That hole is framed so differently when there's 2,000 people there. When there's nothing, no grandstands or anything there, you're like, man, that pond is kind of big. Like, I didn't even realize there was water. So that part of it has been so different. But you know what? When it comes down to it, Maddie, on my podcast, Maddie and the Caddy, we threw this out there, and I still feel the same way, even though this is so different. If I got to choose between no Masters and a Masters with no grandstands and no patrons, give me the Masters with no patrons and no grandstands. Because just seeing them out there, as weird as it is, and like you said, it kind of looks and feels like just the guys playing a practice round. Mm-hmm. Knowing that this is for real and knowing that this is the Masters, like, it still has a different feel than a regular PGA Tour event, and it feels different than even the other two majors that we've played. So thank goodness we made it here, and somebody's getting a green jacket at the end of the day, which is cool. I will give y'all one little nugget. Here's a nugget for you. Even though there's no patrons out there, the concession stands are still open. One of the players told me that you can walk into one of the concession stands and grab a sandwich, some chips or something, and it's free.
I just love that. Needs to be a new thing here just in sporting events at all. Like at some point, right? At some point, if you want Jimmy Butler just to be like, you know what, I was fiending for some nachos in the middle of a game. I'm just going to roll in and get it and just put it on the card. It would be fine. He's Michael Collins. The podcast is Maddie and the Caddy. You and Barry are doing a great job on that, of course. It posts round episodes this week for it. Hey, grab me some gear over there. Just stuff it in there.
No,
put it on
the
Alyssa Lang's parents' credit card.
The merch merchandise shop is only open to the players. Like, nobody, even the caddies can't get in the merchandise shop. So I can't get you nothing.
But you have friends who can.
Yeah.
You know those guys.
You're Michael Collins. You can get anything again at this point. My man.
I would like to plead the fifth on that. I would send everybody to ESPN Plus to watch America's Caddy Episode 2, now on ESPN Plus streaming. Thank you.
My man knows what he's doing. He's Michael Collins. We appreciate the time, buddy. Enjoy it, all right?
Thanks, y'all. Thank there you. It is. Have a great day. Thanks for having me on.
Segment ever in the Dan Le Batard Show. It's Stu Gatz because I don't have clock integrity. It's Peter Burns. It's Alyssa Lang and ESPN Radio, always presented by Progressive Insurance. And news from the Dan Le Batard with Stu Gatz Nation. Someone just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. And I think it was the best tweet we've seen in a long time. We were talking about how much I love Vern Lundquist, but not nearly as much as Alyssa Lang. And it was pretty solid. Alyssa Lang, you said you're thirsty over here at Augusta, and Alex Hernandez says, Peter, you want some sweet tea or lemonade? Alyssa says, no, I was talking about Vern Lundquist.
Let me be clear. I was talking about Vern Lundquist's voice and how I love to hear it, and this has been blown way out of proportion, but, you know, it's a hill I'll die on. Love you, Vern.
You got another hour to redeem yourself. Peter Burns, Alyssa Lang, college football, please don't go away. That next, the Le Batard Show.